Welcome to Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrick. I appreciate you listening. Having you along today is great. I'm hoping you're having a fabulous time, whatever time, wherever you are. One of the people I've been really fascinated by and thrilled to see doing a whole lot of work and exploring, explaining, sharing her views with people is Marcia Shaffer. And I don't even remember how some of this stuff is just, you know, you're thinking, I need a new angle. I need somebody to present this information. And all of a sudden, there the person is. That's what happened. And I saw one of the best interviews I have seen is the, if you do a Google, you can do Marcia Shaffer and spell it S-C-H-A-F-E-R. And you'll get some YouTube videos. The one I like the best is from Caretakers of the Earth. So that'll give you a good background if you want an overview. Or you can check out her website at beyondzebra.com. Marcia, I am so thrilled just to be able to talk with you and you know, ask my own questions like everybody else. I want to ask questions.
It's my pleasure to be with you, and I'm very happy to talk with you this morning.
Okay, first, a little bit of a background. Just for anybody who is really curious and doesn't know anything about you, this is going to take people into a new area that might really, I think, better explain our current situation when it comes to extraterrestrial contact and what that is in your perspective. Some people, they want to see little green men. They want to see big, fat, whatever they are, reptiles. And it's like, okay, come on. Let's just go one step further and give us
Let me interject for a second because I want to answer that question, but I think it's important to give just a little bit of background first because I take a different perspective. While I've had a lifetime of extraterrestrial contact ever since I was in the crib, I think I've used it differently than most of the people out there who are talking about it. And the reason I want to give the background is because that's what set me on my way. What I do actually with people is getting them really ready to think differently for the new time that we're living in now. And I'm not talking about necessarily the New Age mantra of all this, we're going to turn into light beings or we're going to have an Armageddon. This is a time of tremendous change within society. And what I do is I get people to look at four different areas of life. I ask them to rethink how they feel about spirit life, reincarnation, the soul, what is there after the physical experience. And I also walk them through the other door of pet communication because animals and species all around us are sentient and they can think and interpret the world in their own ways and we can learn from that. And then the alien reality you asked about is an important door because I happen to be one of the people, of the many people on this planet, who have had actual face-to-face contact and know that it's out there and how it can impact our life. And then I roll it into the fourth sector, which is really the action part, which is what are you going to do with your life now and how are you going to make a difference with all this information so that we can have a better future on the planet, and I call that business pioneering. So coming back to your question about alien reality and what that's all about and how I look at it is, I look at it as this tremendous antidote for some of the situations on the planet right now, because what it's going to do when it does come out into the open finally is it's going to give humans a new way of looking at their relationship to the world, to each other, and even to the cosmos at large. So I think it has a tremendous potential, but I'm far beyond. A lot of people tend to get very fixated on some of the basic fundamentals, and I spent years talking about that. What I'm referencing is who's out there, what do they want, what it's all about. I offer my perspective on it, but I always roll it up with everybody has to make up their own mind because they haven't had the same experience as I have. And, Wendy, there's really nothing more odious than something that many people do when they try to have their version of reality be everybody's version. You know, this is what you have to believe. This is what you have to know. This is a time of our coming into empowerment and really learning for ourselves, having to figure out what is reality, what's the best move to take. So, you know, I spent many years explaining some of the basics, and I still do that, but now it's all about, so what are we going to do with all this information? Are we going to sit here like slobs on the planet and continue to live the way we have been, or are we finally going to kick it up to humanity 2.0 and, you know, create a better civilization, one that we deserve and one that we should be coming into ownership of in terms of prosperity. What does that mean, really? Being a decent citizen of the planet, taking care of it, our relationship, redefining society all the way down from economics to relationships to how we find our way on the planet. It's a big avenue to take, but, you know, it's like biting the elephant. You take it off one chunk at a time, one bite at a time, and we can go forward and move in that direction. So I went around kind of circuitously in your question about extraterrestrials, because it's not necessarily about extraterrestrials. It's about the role of our understanding who we are and what we can be on this planet, and that is one facet to take us down that next level of understanding.
Let me give you an example of how I have come to this, because this is the ET thing is something I avoided like the plague. I thought, okay, once I go there, I can't come back. Well, it was just that I knew as soon as you cross that boundary, then everybody would automatically, you know, label you a nutcase and you were done. Well, first I decided to do channeling, which is pretty much the same thing. But because of all of my things that were happening in my life in terms of the spiritual connection and the metaphysical things that just exploded, I didn't have any choice. It was that three-year-old kicking and screaming, no, 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 no. And finally, oh, crud. I can't get out. I'm in the middle of it. But they gradually allowed me to see and connect and have these experiences to understand what it's like to be really immobile because of fear. And mine wasn't about fear, because I had these tremendous, very, very powerful God connections, and I could see and feel and sense and was given these amazing, in whatever way you want to call it, enlightened moments where I felt myself connected with all that is, that greater sense. Well, then we came back to having these other types of contact. And like you, there's not a negative with this. And I've since pursued people who have contact like you, who have this, not just channeling, but the actual engagement of the encounter.
There is a really big difference, because yes, I've done both and have engaged in both. You know, I experienced the channeling during the 90s after a lifetime of contact. And it's quite different when you do have the face-to-face contact situation. It's really powerful. The channeling, so many of us who are on the enlightenment path have gone through that particular doorway and experienced that, because there's so many other types of intelligence is trying to get through to us. But one of the things that's so important to be aware of is that channeling is intriguing, because it's almost like going into the great barroom in the sky, but you don't know it. You know, you really aren't always sure what you're getting or who's coming through, because so many of them present themselves as these master intelligences. And we have to really have our wisdom hat on, because they can be nice, but really not that powerful in terms of the information that they're sharing to us. And that's where it really gets into that other corner of spirit life. And I always tend to classify everything just in terms of other intelligences or self-awarenesses, whether they're extraterrestrial, whether they're disembodied, or energy, higher multidimensionals, not human.
When I got the word non-corporeal, what I got with that was you really are forced to become accountable for your own integrity. What you share, what you do, how you are ultimately the creator and the one who determines, am I accountable? Can I be responsible? Is there a purpose for this information? And that was one of the reasons I decided I don't want to do readings for everybody else. You know, because we are so incredibly impressionable. We are vulnerable in ways we don't know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And, you know, and this is one of the things I start out with the sessions with people, because I'm not a classic psychic. I would call my sessions more of their empowerment sessions and their guidance and their consulting. You know, if you want to know who you're going to meet, I'm not the person. If you want to understand how the principles of the universe work and what are your opportunities to change things for the better and have a more powerful life, then I'm interested in working with you. And it sounds like you're coming from a similar type of perspective in that regard. What you said is just so true, and I agree so heartedly with you, is that we really do create what comes our way individually and collectively, and that's where the accountability comes in. We have to start to recognize this. I mean, you look at the people who are successful in their lives, and I'm not just talking financial success. You and I both know, and your audience knows, that's just a minimal part of it. That just makes life a little easier sometimes. I'm talking about really happy, successful people. You know, they understand what's important, as you, to use your word. They're accountable for themselves. They understand their relationship to others. They're kind, they're considerate, and they think things out to multiple degrees beyond the immediate moment. And they understand the impact that they have on the moment, and they understand the impact they have on the future to come. This is where we all need to be moving into wiser creatures, into people who have more understanding of what our actions and what our beliefs do and how they actually interact with that subterranean invisible world in the cosmos, you know, quantum energy.
I also want to bring back into the picture, because I think it's so profound and a part of our evolution, the connection with pets. Because when I do certain types of topics, the pets, and when certain things happen, the pets will leave or not come inside or sit and stare at the house or sit and stare at a corner. And I hate traumatizing
your own critic.
Them. I don't like traumatizing them. But, well, one house, the dog was there, and there was a ghost in the little boy's room, and the dog just sat there and stared at the corner, and the person who lived there hadn't really paid attention. And it's like, it was just, hello, hello, please, come on. I'm just staring. But those kinds of things are around us, those little clues and connections and communications, and we still haven't capitalized on this other way of viewing the world. They see things that we are not seeing in this moment, but to them, because of their eyesight and their own sensory perceptions, they got a bird's eye view, and we're going, oh, it's just a dog, it's just a cat, it's just a horse.
Well, you know, this gets into the even bigger question of something that I deal with daily in my work, and that is reconciling ordinary reality, ordinary life, and, you know, I'm going to call them ordinary people, versus those who are stepping outside of it, which are happening to a greater degree. And those who are stepping outside of it become aware of the types of things that you're discussing, just as the pets are aware of it. Humans have closed off, for the most part, at least Westerners in particular, their ability to understand that there is so much more out there. And instead, they just discard clues and information that is all around them that helps them explain there's a greater world at large out there. The animals are so tuned into it. They're a part of it. And I think what's really intriguing is when somebody starts to become more aware of the world at large and start on what we frequently call the path of enlightenment, there's a real opening of their heart to nature, almost a necessity to connect with it, whether it's the animal world or the nature world. That's like the gateway to the other side that they start to respond to. And they have this great sensitivity to everything that's out there. But we never shut up long enough to be able to listen to it. People want to be on Facebook. They want to be on Twitter. They want to be watching the latest episode of Mad Men. And they spend all of the time closed down with their receptors taking in certain types of information, which gives no time for those silent messages from the other side to get through. They just blocked off, and therefore it's like losing an entire sense of receiving information. But to say when we want to reactivate it.
Part of it is that you're programmed from the time you're little. In whatever culture you are from, wherever it is on this planet, we have to get from point A to point B. And so we each have our own little dynamic of, this is the way the world works. And you get caught up in that before you realize, wait a minute, it might work differently for me. And then you start experimenting and experiencing that, holy cow, it does work differently for me. What do I do then? Because then there, that whole thing of ethics, integrity, responsibility comes back into the picture, and it can be overwhelming. So it's so easy just to go back to watching Mad Men. The name is fabulous.
You know, when you bring up also a good point of something that's going on, I work with clients in over 45 countries. For the most part, I'm turning people into humanitarian pioneers, whether they're on the path of enlightenment primarily and want to figure out how can they integrate that into their life, or they're stepping outside of ordinary reality and want to open up more to the doors of mysticism. Whichever side of the coin they come from, I help them to keep it in balance and work with both angles. And over 45 countries, there's a great surge of something going on in terms of people becoming more aware of life being more than it seems, and a tremendous influence from the paranormal side of reality is infiltrating into this everyday reality with people. So there's a large group out there who this is somewhat new to, and they're not quite sure how to integrate it, because it goes back to something you said at the beginning in terms of, oh, people will just think I'm nuts or I'm off the beaten path. But now it is time to be off the beaten path and show how that is appropriate information that can be useful to us if we interpret it right and take it right. So we've got this whole new group of people that are having some type of influence making them aware of all these other more subtle types of things. And so the question related to that is why? Why is there a tremendous outbreak of the population worldwide who are adopting different values, different ways of understanding the world, different ways of interpreting what's going on around them? And not only why is it happening now? These are some interesting questions, I think, for all of us as mystics to grasp and to deal with. People sometimes tend to just classify, oh, it's a time of, as I was alluding to before, the 2012 doorway, Armageddon, things changing. Is it? Do we really know what's going on and what's causing this? Is this a genetic time switch that's happening in people? Is there an aspect of our consciousness that we're not aware of? Are we part of a mass platform who incarnated and was scheduled to have this happening? Are there some type of particles out there in the cosmos, similar to radiation, that's coming down upon our environment and impacting us and causing us in a relationship type of situation? We don't know. We have a lot of ideas about it, but no matter what, something's going on worldwide to change the way that humans are looking at the pathway to the future and themselves. So this is really an intriguing time as we're talking about consciousness, cultures, understanding ourselves, how to behave better amongst ourselves, the extraterrestrial connection. This really is a very intriguing time, Wendy, right now on this planet, to be looking at what's going on. It's as if we're right at the footstep of some momentous type of change that I don't think is going to happen necessarily overnight in a blink, but will take a few years to unfold, and then we'll look back and go, holy cow, will you look at what happened? Just like I liken it to the American Revolution and the years leading up to it. People didn't understand or recognize that they were about to birth a brand new nation that would change the course of the future of the world. They just knew they didn't like the taxes, they didn't like England bearing down on them, and they were starting to get restless and wanted to do something. Just like them, we're at that footprint corner of time and reality where action is now being taken up with a new way of looking at it and of using it and of understanding our responsibility of how we have to live. These are the questions that really intrigue me right now in terms of, you know, we're beginning to re-embrace reality and look at it, but it's that corner of the world that is into the action. Okay, so what are we going to do about it? And that's what I think is the key. The real key, more than extraterrestrials, pets, nature, spirit life, the people who are willing to take up the baton and are starting to do some amazing platforms of living life differently, starting new businesses, new enterprises, new resources, whether they're services or products, to feed a demographic that's like you and like I, that are hungry for a new way of life living on this planet. There's really something very big going on, but very few people know about it and are aware of it and are seeing what's taking place.
The thing is, even if they don't know about it, there are some who are participating in it in a subconscious level because they're saying, I want this change. And they're the ones who are out there doing the going back to nature, getting off the grid. And they may not even associate it with any of this or the stuff that we're talking about. But it is a shift in the collective consciousness that is somehow the catalyst for some of these dramatic changes. And whether they see, you know, the impact of the tsunami, the impact of Chernobyl, the impact of what's happening with the oceans and the planet. Some of this stuff is just part of our planet aging. It isn't all us. It's also a part of the fact that we live in a place, in a state, in a time that continues to, like us, grow older or advance. And as that happens, then our whole environment changes. So,
yeah, I agree with you. There are a lot of things that are beyond our control. We tend to like to think we live in a static environment. But when we get to the social implications, the people are also saying no more bad parenting. We've had enough. And the numbers are increasing. And I'm so looking forward to when the shift is there in terms of the numbers of people who are saying, I've had enough with this. So there is the growing understanding that we live in relationship to an organism that many people are aware has its own type of consciousness. And there is also the social responsibility component that goes along with that, that is making this, in my eyes, an extremely exciting time to be alive and to be looking at what's going on out there. To me, right now, the linchpin is harnessing this and helping the people who are feeling helpless, who are becoming aware of what's going on, but aren't quite sure what to do or how they can participate. That's the key, because in my own belief system, I feel that we incarnated here collaboratively, that we came in as a contingency movement to enact a turnaround strategy on this planet to see if we had matured enough as spiritual beings to learn how to get down here, live our lives, then put our differences aside, find each other, work together, both in a real-time scenario and an esoteric scenario, to be putting forth new actions on the planet, but also learning how to combine our energies into where we started at the beginning of this conversation, into thought patterns and intentions to create the future. So I'm all about creating the future instead of taking the one being handed off to us. And all these aspects that we're talking about is reflective of people starting to go, enough already. I've had enough. I'm ready for something new, and I'm ready to be a part of it. I believe I read that you had your own awakening, what, about really powerful awakening 10 years ago? Was that right? Or
1997, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There were two key time periods in the 90s when there were pivotal things going on in terms of what I call the awakening contingency. One was between 1992 and 1994. If you talk to a lot of people, they will be able to identify something or things happened in their life that brought about major change at that time. Then 97, 98, almost into 99, was another big curve when it was almost like ping pong balls being lobbied at people to wake up and to move differently. And there was a lot of esoteric intervention into people's lives, which I believe was getting them ready for now.
I agree. See, part of it, okay, as a child, I had a Holy Spirit encounter type when I was age 11. I had divine intervention in terms of being saved from life-threatening, physically harmful events at least three or four times. In 87, I had a out-of-body where I saw my whole self and in a third person perspective, the light, the body, and the awareness. So there was a separation there. In 92, there was or 91, somewhere there was an encounter where I saw beings in my presence talking about me, and they said, she's awake. And I thought, oh, shoot, I lost it. And the rest, so it was not all, you know, it wasn't just one glorious thing. It was when that finally happened, I had been, in a way, preparing for it to get me to continue to go ahead and experience it instead of trying to keep having a career.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what I'm alluding to, because of the thousands and thousands of people that I've been working with over the years, and particularly the cluster within the past 2 years, majority of them are just like you and what you described. They've had certain experiences from the time they came in, and then they went through oftentimes in those key periods, but not always, but oftentimes they went in those key periods, life-changing situations that caused them to have to either embrace who they were and work with it and accept the changes that were thrown at them to take them on a pathway that would lead them to greater self-understanding and greater empowerment. And that gets us back to the issue of, it certainly seems like there is a contingency of intelligences out there, if you believe in that, which people like us do, that are, let's just say, guiding us, helping us to get to certain key points where we can have optimum experiences to change the world and change ourselves.
Let me give you a clue. I had a Men in Black experience, but it was in a dream. However, it was just as real. So I'll give you that after we come back from the break. But I also, one of the things that makes you, Marcia Shaffer, so fascinating is that ET contact. So if we could just bring that in just a little
Absolutely. Bit. Absolutely. We'll focus on that.
Yes, just a little bit, so people have an idea of what that reality is, not the channeling, but the reality. And that, I think, is crucial, because some people are having those experiences and haven't been able to integrate it. And this gives them validation. So we're talking with Marcia Shaffer, who has a wonderful, wonderful way of presenting all of this information that really brings it down to earth. Her website, beyondzebra.com, you could check that while we're taking a short break. But we'll be back with more on what to expect beyond 2012 here on Conscious Living and Power Radio.
Hey parents, do kids think you're out of touch because of the way you dress?
Yes.
Well, say hello to instant style with Fashion On. Just spray Fashion On whatever you're wearing and look cool in an instant. Turn orthopedic shoes into vintage high tops, pleated khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
But what about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screenings. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to ahrq.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. My guest, Marcia Schaefer, is telling us about her experience. I want to really quickly interject this because I alluded to it, the Men in Black thing. What happened was, it's been in recent, like in the last 3 or 4 years, I had a redirect and an incredible life shift again because of what I was doing and I guess intentional shift of what I thought was my focus and getting me really into high gear with it. In the dream, they said, I was approached with this standard Men in Black Cadillac black vehicle. They approach, and I'm out standing on a sandbar looking at the stars with a friend, and kind of taking an overview of the friend and seeing that the people around this person were not very high level connections. Okay. I was disappointed. And the three men approached me and they were very nondescript, neutral, you know, just kind of ordinary guys and wearing the black suits and telling me, we need you to do what you agreed to do when you came here. And in that that little transaction, I knew, okay, yeah, it's time. And I needed to make a separation in what was happening in my present day reality. And when I did that, during my waking hours, a paranormal, it was like a domino chain of events happened where I had daylight encounters with people who look like you and me, and with scenarios and situations that didn't really fit in this reality. But it was all a matter of saying, it's time for you to do what you agreed. And without telling me what it was, but I knew, okay, now I have to really address this ET thing.
You know, you said something interesting about the daylight hours, et cetera. And that brings up, too, there's so much mythology about actual face-to-face contact, which is one of the things you asked about. Many people tend to think that it only happens at night or in remote areas. In reality, it can happen at any time, any place, day, night, whatever. One of the things that people don't always understand, because we have these rigid ideas of consciousness and reality, is that there's, in the beginning, I find for many people, there's two ways it can happen. If they don't have the classical face-to-face contact, what will sometimes precede it before that happens is similar to what you just described. They will break through the dream scenario and try to get you acclimated to the situation of being with them. Then they will try to get you to have the memories of it so that it's not as shocking and it's not as jarring when it happens. Now, we tend to think, oh, we're going to be fine when it happens. I can't wait. I don't want the experience. I have people over the years contacting me as if I'm going to set them up at Starbucks with an alien. You know, first of all, it's not up to me whether they have contact or not, but mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily happen that way. And many times, though, it does happen in the late night, early morning hours for people. And for myself, my classical thing was around 3 a.m., between 1 and 3 a.m., but particularly around 3 a.m. when I was going to mm-hmm. have a contact visit. Though yep. I would have them in broad yep. daylight or in all types of situations, but that would be sometimes it would happen. So let me just go back and clarify. You know, oftentimes when I'm finding when people are newly having contact and they'll describe situations to me, they will be the preceding events in the dream scenarios. Because, one, they often will look different. They can look just like us, but there's many different races and species out there. And if they look different, they want to start to acclimate you to that and have it not be as jarring. Oftentimes, when you have the actual physical contact, physical is a key word because you will feel different sensations. My interpretation of that is that there's these dimensional fields that they're breaking through and that we feel that and we respond to that as it's coming through because your body feels very differently. Oftentimes, And I'm going to precede it with oftentimes because depending upon who you're having contact with, the situation is different on the race and the species. It can happen a few different ways. But for the most part, the classical descriptions of feeling different, feeling funny, oftentimes there will be a tremendous physical sensation within your head, often similar to what people describe as kundalini types of experiences in the energy. And then there'll be this big breakthrough, and then they'll be there. For me, a lot of times it was I could sense them there, I would turn over, and in the middle of the night, they would break through my dream state. I could feel them, I would see them straight in front of me, I'd sit up and wake up, and I'd look, and ta-da, there they are. So, it can happen a number of different ways, but the classical ways are oftentimes in the nighttime because people are in a more relaxed state at that point. I also had one race tell me that it was a little bit easier to communicate with us at night for some reason. So there are those types of sensations, those types of experiences. They'll be preceded oftentimes by them getting you ready for it if you haven't had a dramatic contact experience beforehand. As far as who's out there, this is where it gets a little tricky. There are many, many different types of life forms out there, but our culture, as it's begun to become introduced to this, has stuck with the ideology of the classical ones, particularly those who have been channeled. So we hear about Pleiadians and Greys and Arcturians and Sirians, etc. Oftentimes, as I've gotten more involved with a number of them, they say that the names that they have are for our purposes only, and they mm-hmm. really have no meaning or relationship.
Yeah.
The biggest distinction that I make between who's out there are they're the classic extraterrestrials, those who seem to have biological bodies just like us, even though they may or may not look like us. But then there's something else that is much more interesting to me, and those are what I just affectionately call multidimensionals. These are much more highly evolved beings that are greater teachers, I feel, than the extraterrestrials. And this is where I've focused my contact with over the past decade or so. But you have to kind of earn a privilege of being with them because it's almost like a vibrational match. I make the analogy, some people may or may not like this, but if you worked in a corporation, sure, you could walk into the CEO's office at any time, but you really ought to have a reason and not be wasting their time. And I kind of look at it like that, because these are such great wise beings that it's an honor and a privilege to me when they spend time with us. So that's where I like to spend my energies more. But the classical extraterrestrials, there are definitely gray ones. The reptilian races, I am at complete odds with the common culture about that. I had a lot of contact with reptilian races, and they're not at all, in my personal experience, what people describe. They're not the baby-eating, nasty ones trying to keep us down on the planet. I've never had those types of situations at all. I found that they were an advanced civilization. They were very focused on the children and how their children could be a part of tomorrow and how they understood their responsibility of raising every child in that society, not just their own. So very, very different than people describing these horrific things that, if you get back to it, they often come only from channeled information and not from direct face-to-face contact experiences. So we have to be very careful as we start bringing in this information from me and from other people and have to sift because we don't really know what's out there. When I have an extraterrestrial experience, I am smart enough to know that whatever information is being passed on to me, I need to take it and interpret it and see if it feels right. I don't know what they're telling me. I often have to wait to see if it fits into context and makes sense. I mean, I've had some profound, amazing information, but I don't run with it, and I don't run and say to the world, they're coming on August 31st, be ready. You know, people who do that, they never show up.
I know.
So there's that aspect in terms of we have to put together an entire new gestalt of what it's about because no one person has the full answer, and that's the problem with the extraterrestrial or UFO movement or whatever the people want to call themselves is so many people are saying, this is how it is and this is what you must believe. I'm smart enough to know that I've only seen certain things. If I went to, say, Russia and I was shown the best arts and museums and the people and the finest food and was never taken around to the barrio, the underserved areas, some very disadvantaged things that may be a part of their society, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means I wasn't exposed to it. And I look at this with my eyes when I have the extraterrestrial experiences with beings that seem to come from cultures and civilizations, and that I only know what they're showing me, not what they're not showing or revealing. And, you know, it's so typical of humans to assume that when they have information, they have all of it. When life is really more like an iceberg, we see the tip of it and not what's underneath. So I always realize this is just a piece, and this is what I present, and this is what I've been shown, this is what I was experiencing, this is what I know, but I also know that there's a lot more that I don't know. So going back to that reptilian thing, which is one of my particular areas of frustration within the extraterrestrial UFO community, is that I've never experienced the types of things that people have said. And when I get right back to it, usually I like to find, has somebody channeled this? Oh, for Christ's sakes, come on. you present it as this is a channeled thing. It's not reality. So we have to be very cautious as we're taking in information. The other thing that's very amusing to me is so many species will claim that they are responsible for making us. Almost every single species I've encountered has had some kind of claim to contributing to us being here and being responsible for us. So that's something that's intriguing. But I'm going to provide another viewpoint. One of the things that I was told that I revealed when I published my book was that one particular race told me that we were actually a genetic derivation of different races that were compiled together long, long ago on this planet when there was genetic tinkering with the basic being, primate that was here. And so if that is true, because I said, if we are a mixture of many different genetic races, then actually some of them could technically say, I'm your daddy. So, but again, we don't know for sure. We all have to take it as just, wow, this is really fascinating stuff that's out there. So,
well, and what,
also,
yeah, and what to do with the information.
Right.
There's really nothing you can do except, okay, go back to what can I do while I'm here to help improve or...
Exactly, and saying it's a possibility.
Add to.
One of the most important things, though, I want to bring up with people who are starting to have extraterrestrial activity or maybe getting into this is that, from my perspective, it seems like many of the races put us through this almost sophomoric hazing period that we are not aware of because they want to test us and test our reasoning and our cognitive and our rational capability. And what I'm alluding to is that you'll find that many people will come forward and say, I was told I'm a special ambassador and I have this privileged information that I was told to share with you. Listen to what I have to say. Many of them tried that with me, and I would always go, if you pardon my language, the equivalent of oh, bullshit. You know, I am certainly not the type of personality who's going to get out there without any type of documentary proof or true knowing in terms of saying, this is what's happening, this is reality. I'll always present, this is something that was shared with me, I haven't got the clue, as to whether or not it's going to come to pass or not, or whether it has a foundation in reality. So many people will do that, but when I started, was given all this information and refused to go forward as this mad-ass ambassador myself, then something happened, something very unique happened. I was treated very differently after a time. I wasn't given this type of, pablum information. I was taken into almost this inner core curriculum of fascinating training and information that I hadn't had access to before. Much deeper information that has to do with wisdom and understanding, a mix of cognitive understanding and immediate enlightenment, a lot of science, a lot of cosmology, a lot of deeper things of understanding organism behavior, particularly the human behavior. And I had this real rich curriculum, as I like to talk about it, when I refused to play into the ego-driven aspect of, oh, I'm an ambassador, I'll get out there and tell people anything. So what I do is I look back through it through almost anthropological types of eyes and psychological eyes as why would that happen? And I tend to think, as I alluded to before, that they observe us to see just how smart are you really and what are you capable of and where should we put you in terms of our work with you? And that goes back to bringing the onus upon us to be an empowered thinking being. The ultimate message I was given with my life is a lot of people over the years thought that I was supposed to be out there. Breaking through the barriers of extraterrestrial reality and helping to educate that. But what they've told me over and over again, that my real soul and life mission is to help people to think differently and to become empowered beings. And that's what my work is really all about, is bringing people to the point where they can become more advanced themselves, not just being a messenger of information, but teaching them the best ways to interpret that information, to live, to be an empowered being in their own authority, in collaboration with what I call the God presence or the universal principles or understanding how they relate to life. So it's instead of taking a magic wand and doing a spell and this great metaphor and saying kaboom, instead I'm showing you what's the technology behind the wand and how could you use it to do something terrific. And there's a big difference with that. And I really like that. And I really like where I've gone with those who teach me and work with me and have created this platform of, it's not about me, it's about all of us. And what can I do to be the most effective to turn on the switches in other people?
I was supposed to help with, and it was to help broadcast light. And they give you metaphors, they give you anything that you put your meaning to,
absolutely,
and then you bring it through to the best of your ability in the way that you understand it. Because everything we do here comes through our own ability to think, integrate, act, react, and then carry it through. And then we, as everything else, shift out of this body into that non-corporeal form. And the best thing that I can say to you, if you're listening, is enjoy your time. Because just like everything else, we get a moment to play with this, to integrate it, to become something, and then to share it. And for me, I think the bigger picture is they're trying to get us to see that we are all looking at the elephant from different vantage points. And none of us has a clue what the whole thing looks like. And maybe we won't until we get out of this box. Does that make sense?
Well, that brings up two things. One is it goes back to where I feel that, from my own perspective, our spiritual journey as an incarnational group is to learn to collaborate. And if we get that, then this great big curtain is going to arise, and I think civilization will change. The other thing that you talk about in terms of enjoy the moment is when I connect with spirits, ordinary disembodied spirits of humans, you'll hear over and over again a similar message from most of them, and that is that they didn't realize what life was about during the incarnational stage, and they feel like they wasted their time, and particularly focused on things that were not important, where now they understand what was important. I should have been with the person I really loved. I shouldn't have wasted that time on Earth. I shouldn't have been trying to spend my life making the house payments. I should have spent time with the kids. Or why didn't I have the job in life that I loved instead of the one that I felt I only deserved, you know, I didn't go for it. I didn't go for the gold ring. And that is the biggest remorse I hear over and over again of spirits. And there's much for us to learn from that. Wendy, it sounds like you and I have some very similar viewpoints and perspectives on not just life, but what it's all about and what our responsibility is to make this a very powerful time to be here.
Well, and you know, that's the best we can do is to share that and give people different windows of looking at it. I did want to add one thing in terms of if you have contact. For me, when it was 3 a.m. The real contact, they kept telling me, you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid. And because of all of my really far out paranormal experiences of, you know, the good, the bad, and the whole holy unexpected, I thought, oh, I'm not afraid. And then when this happened, there was a barometric shift. My whole physical being immediately went into that fight or flight. All of a sudden, I froze when I heard my name. It sounded almost like a mechanical version of my name. And in, you know, within about 10 feet from me, and I'm like feeling that happen and knowing, oh my gosh, because they had told me we're going to do this and you can't be afraid. And then after I did that and knew I shut it down physiologically, I knew that was what was happening. And it's our programming, that fight or flight, we are programmed for that. I knew, oh, I've got things to work on to help me engage this. And there was this chuckling from what I, you know, my own spirit guides, my own little cadre of helpers of, yep, there's the fear. And I'm like, oh, but it's so that to me was giving us a clue.
You just hit something that is so important, and that will make all the difference in the world in terms of not just the extraterrestrial connection, in terms of, you know, the spirit guides, those who work with us, that aspect of covering the fear. You cannot go to certain places with the fear. This is what we've lost from the ancient civilizations. There's no proof of what I'm saying, but I'm going to share it anyway, is that in the ancient civilizations, when we had the types of schools that are often referred to today as mystery schools, where we were taught about the greater realities and what's out there, the very first phase that an initiate was taken through was a series of training exercises that the purpose was to get them to overcome their fear. And they were held back from going out of the body too far, having too many dramatic experiences until that could happen. And scenarios were actually set up and to create these illusions so that they would have the opportunity to overcome their fear, and then the illusions would dissipate and they would understand that they were in total power the whole time. This type of training was done before the initiate was really sent out into these other experiences where they would leave their physical body behind and then come back to it. Because fear is the glue that holds us back from becoming all that we can be. And your own personal experience that you just talked about is similar to what many people in the pathway will have gone through. I myself went through something similar. I had all these experiences till I was in my 30s, and I was so tired of being afraid, I just gave up from sheer exhaustion. And when I lost my fear, that was when I became the master, and my abilities didn't control me. I learned how to control my abilities and live a very different lifetime. A lot of people spend their life trying to turn on their psychic switches. I was born with it and tried to figure out how to turn them off all the time. Mm-hmm. And once I suddenly said, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm just so exhausted from all this. I had the direct ability to interact with spirits on my own terms. The extraterrestrial reality experiences went to not as much further because they were pretty extreme from the beginning, but I was able to extract the information in different ways and use it in the great empowerment back here. I opened up my ability to communicate with animals, and I just took control, and I was able to serve and help other people in a way that I never could, where before it was kind of like, I don't know, there's this paintbrush, and I kind of throw the paint on the canvas. All of a sudden, I learned how to paint with finesse. And so the fear that you were mentioning is something that each and every one of us has to overcome, whether it's a fear of the paranormal realities or a fear of not making a mortgage payment, a fear of not having food on the table, a fear of not being able to find a job. When we get rid of that, then we have just grown up and, you know, taken back the power. And that's going to make a tremendous shift. But it's very easy, you know, when you're sitting in a comfortable place, saying not to have fear when somebody is facing homelessness, they don't have a job, they're living out of their car. It is difficult when you're in a place of extreme reality and in an extreme situation to really get a hold of yourself and pull on that power from within. But many people who are having tremendously successful lifetimes have been through those down and out periods of fear and despair and everything that's gone wrong. And it's like they reached down into themselves and they said, I know I can do it. And that power of reaching into the inner core and saying, I know I can do it and I can make a change. Nothing is going to get in my way. And they have this clear strategy for what they want and where they want to get to. Time and time again, you will find that with people who have been successful and made great change in their lives. So now we do it individually, and now we do it collaboratively. And this is what I'm all about. And the new area I'm opening up at BeyondZebra.com and in the work I do is pulling people together in a new way so that they can work in the action path professionally, personally, and also be building this entirely new energetic net around themselves and around the planet that we can harness this energy and move forward.
I love that. And the one thing you said also, it was to share. I will mention one more thing. Never discount the potential for a divine assist in whatever way it is helpful for you, because that's what I've lived and it's real. I really appreciate your time. Marcia Schaefer.
Oh, thank you.
From I hope we'll hear more from you and more details. So don't stop doing your work.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Empower Radio and Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. If you want more information, you can check out Conscious for Life, the blog spot, or you can find me on Facebook. And have a wonderful day. Remember to think the best thoughts wherever you are. That's what comes back to you.